Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. We prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, with today's guest.
Hi, I'm Eric Johnson, and I'm professor of Christian psychology at Houston Baptist University. I've spent my whole career in the field of psychology, studying at Michigan State University for my PhD, and since then I've been teaching in Christian colleges and seminary, but I'm so happy to be here at HBU. The project of a Christian psychology is to seek to understand psychology as best we can, the way that God does. And of course, that's a challenging task. He's infinite in his understanding, but he created us and he's given us some really great insights into human nature in the Bible. And then he's invited us to do research and to grow in our understanding so that more and more we can seek to approximate his infinite understanding of human beings and what we're doing here, what our purpose is. One of the great resources, of course, for that is to study the psychology that dominates our culture right now. But it's a challenge because that psychology is secular. And there's no God in any of its theories. And so it requires a lot of insight and wisdom, understanding our own great intellectual and soul care tradition in the Bible throughout the history of the church and making that our own and thinking through what are the implications of the treasures that we've been given for the science of psychology. But then also to be able to interpret it in a way, the modern psychology, in a way that is faithful to God's understanding as best as we can discern that. So I can't think of a better place for me than Houston Baptist University. I'm so thankful to be here.
Dr. Johnson, when you have the two words Christian psychology, we have proponents who think that's an oxymoron. Mm-hmm. I totally disagree. I know you do. Why?
Well, psychology belongs to God. He's the author of the universe. He's certainly the author of us. Psychology, the word originally meant the science of the soul, the study of the soul. Actually, Christians believe in a soul, and a lot of modern psychologists don't. So this is God's discipline, as all the disciplines are. And part of our service of him is studying his creation for his glory, to magnify him. And particularly in the area of the care of souls, we want to glorify him by bringing Jesus into the soul healing process. This, in my opinion, part of Christianity ought to be understood as the therapy of God that he gave us through Jesus. So it's really, I think, important to God. It's close to God's heart that we take psychology and therapy captive to Christ and seek to glorify him in these ways.
You know, they borrow from sola scriptura, Martin Luther's famous yes. Scripture alone, and the tragedy is they believe that scripture means we cannot have any elements of teaching psychology. We can't even hint at mental health. Very respectfully,
yes.
Everything's a chapter and verse.
Yeah.
And so we see Christian leaders crashing. Mm. Notable names. Mm-hmm. Behavior off the charts. Two different personalities, the platform and what they're really up to. Wow. How does all this interface?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to their credit, they recognize the Bible's important, you know, and of course we agree with that. The Bible is God's word for the care of souls, and he gave us to heal the soul, but he didn't tell us everything. He could have. I mean, he could have given us all the answers on the test, but he wants us to participate with him in the progress of understanding his creation. So I think a better phrase for this particular problem. Well, I like sola scriptura for all that we need in the church, you know, the basics of the Christian faith. We need that. And we don't need anything else than the Bible to have the basics of the Christian faith. But the position that you're mentioning that's so critical of any psychology is, I think, better called solo scriptura. that's the only thing we need. And it's an unfortunate narrowing of all that God's involved in. In the Reformation, you know, out of the Reformation, the Belgic Confession refers to two books that God gave us. The book of scripture and the book of creation, which is embedded with his knowledge and wisdom, you know. And so science is seeking to extract that wisdom that belongs to God. And then the challenge for us is to see how it all fits together in a beautiful harmony. And that's no easy task. And I think it's easier maybe to go to one side and say it's all the Bible, and maybe it's easier to go to the other side and we're just going to follow modern psychology wherever it leads. It's a big challenge to try and say no. We want to know more how God thinks in the whole big picture.
And I will say this in contrast, I know of numerous Christian leaders doing tremendous ministry that happen to see a regular therapist. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes for PR purposes, they'll call it a life coach. Mm-hmm. Whatever the noun we use, the fact of the matter is they've learned that there is inordinate stresses in ministry.
Yes.
Running a mega church, running a university, whatever. My son-in-law launched a church and opened an $11 million building Christmas Eve. And I told Chris, let's take them on vacation in the summer. We did last summer. And I told them, just veg. Mom and I are going to go eat dinner. You don't have to come. We really don't care if you come or not. We love you. Mm-hmm. And they came every night. But we didn't talk about ministry and the joy suckers of life. Mm-hmm. We just let them ventilate. Yes. Now help us understand why it is appropriate to read books by Dr. Eric Johnson as a believer, to go to the Gideon Institute for Christian Psychology at HBU, to know when to say when, to get Christian counseling that has a psychological and, in some instances, even a psychiatric perspective.
Yeah. Well, I think God made human beings very complex creatures. I think the most complex creature in the universe. And that means we have a biological dimension and we have a psychological developmental dimension. We grow up into adults. And in a fallen world, sometimes things happen that are terrible and tragic and not the way God designed us to be. And then we're also spiritual beings, and all of these things are in us in a kind of oneness. But the science has developed to kind of tease apart what are these dimensions and see how they fit together in the whole. So we need to take them seriously as well. The spiritual is the most important in the Christian scheme of things, but that doesn't mean the biological and the psychological, developmental are unimportant. As if it's either or. It's all important. God created us this way. He made us this way. But the challenge then is to figure out, to do justice to all of this complexity. One of the great burdens that I think pastors address, live with, is an unfortunate tendency in the church to idolize them, to want to put them on a pedestal, and to give them an extra burden of perfectionism. We know we're not perfect down here. We know we're supposed to be better than we are. We're supposed to be like Jesus, but we kind of hold them up like they need to be perfect, and they feel the pressure. And it's not a fair pressure. So much of the Bible, and especially the ministry of Jesus, is aimed at the poor in spirit, we're all broken. We're sinners who are broken, and we need healing. We need spiritual healing. We need psychological, developmental healing. In some cases, we need biological healing. There's no shame in that. That's a part of the way we are down here. And God is a God who loves us. That's what Jesus showed by hanging out with people who were broken and not perfect. So the more and more we help our pastors to be okay in being human, I think we help to alleviate them of some of that unfair pressure that is driving a lot of them out of ministry, especially these last few years with the pressures of COVID.
Absolutely. And it's not just those of the ministry. You know, like Jonathan Edwards said, every pastor, every father is a pastor, and every family is a miniature church. We know the abused abuse, and it's not just physical abuse. It's mental and emotional abuse. And some of us have been raised in homes where the decibel level was so ginormously high, or the anger reaction was so extraordinarily fast, that we need help coming to maturity, balance. I mean, how are you crafting this? You're the professor of Christian psychology at the Gideon Institute of Christian Psychology and Counseling at Houston Baptist University. You're known all over America. You're widely respected. What's the vision here?
Yeah. Well, we were just talking about the church, and I think we have to say that the church has a special role to play in the healing of the soul. Going to church every week, hearing the word, praying, singing with God's people is therapeutic in my world.
Yes.
I think we need to remember that, to capture that, to retrieve that to a large degree. But then, as you point out, not everybody grew up in the healthiest of Christian homes. And I didn't grow up in a Christian home myself. And yet after I got saved, I wanted to help my kids to have a life I didn't have, but I still was a troubled soul. I didn't get immediately healed as soon as I became a Christian.
Right.
I got rightly related to Jesus, but that began the process of healing. And I have to say, those years as a father were tough, and now my kids are in their 30s, and we're still working on the journey, and we're kind of in recovery, in what I think is glorifies God at our stage. But that has impelled me into the field of psychology and counseling. And what we're trying to do then is to bring together in one program all the wisdom and knowledge that we have available to us. That means the Bible and the Christian traditions have a lot to offer. They're sort of centrally important in that project. We want to learn everything we can from contemporary research. We want to bring it together in one program rather than, getting one degree there and one degree in the other program. And to my knowledge, it's the only set of programs in America that are really dedicated to doing that at a sophisticated level. There are other good programs in America, I know that, but this is the first program that I think is dedicated to this kind of a framework. So we're teaching students how to all that they need in order to get licensed in our culture. And so we're meeting the highest standards,
and
clinical standards.
As a counselor?
As a counselor and as a master's level psychologist.
Okay.
So there's two pathways for that in the state of Texas and throughout America, especially there's a lot of counseling licenses in America. And in addition, what we're doing is we're training them to work with what we sometimes call a two-track approach, to be able to work with Christians with all the resources of the Christian faith. So it's Christ-centered, biblically rooted, clinically competent therapy. But we also want to train people to work in every sector of public mental health. Christians belong everywhere in our culture.
Police. Church staffs.
Yes.
I can just imagine all the industry. I mean, the hacked off employee that comes back to the warehouse with a gun and kills people. I mean,
there's so much need everywhere in mental hospitals. People with schizophrenia, people with autism. They're close to God's heart, and we need Christians working in them. We have to figure out how to work in those contexts with integrity and yet at the same time, you know, serving in the kingdom of God. And you know, that's a challenge in a secular culture, but we can do it. We can do that.
If I'm a faculty member or a student at HBU and I've got something troubling me, can I go get counseling? And if I can, where?
Yeah, we have a counseling center, the Gideon Counseling Center on campus.
And who's going to talk to me? And are they going to tell somebody about my hangups?
It's absolutely confidential. The work that's done there, no one else knows about it, but the therapist that's working there, we have hired a number of competent, Christ-centered, biblically rooted, clinically competent therapists that work there. We're also beginning to bring our students that are close to graduation in there for practicum and internships to be able to train them at to do this kind of work. And it just so happens this semester we're opening our doors to the community around Houston, both Christians and non-Christians, to welcome them into this counseling environment. So it's a really exciting time for us.
And then let me ask you this question. I mean, why is there such an aversion, kind of a natural aversion, to go with your wife or your son or by yourself or your daughter for counseling? Why is there such a stigma that I'm a nut job if I do that?
Thank you for asking that. It's really important and common question. I think it goes back to the fact that it's like an echo of being created in a perfect condition that we long for. We still yearn to be whole again. The challenge, though, is that it's only going to happen in heaven for those of us that follow Jesus. Thank the Lord. In the meantime, I think we have mixed feelings about that. And we remember, you know, Genesis 2 and 3 points out that as soon as we took that knowledge of good and evil, we started to hide. We knew there was something wrong with us. We became sinners. We became broken. And we started to hide that. And I think that shame is at the root of this tendency for us to say, you know, to pose for people, to be posers, you know, in the big
Instagram,
game of life.
Instagram,
yes.
Our Instagram
world. Oh, my goodness, that has accentuated this desire to have a perfect representation of our lives to everybody else in the world. I really love those folks that are on Facebook and Instagram who are, you know, who let down their guard and show, you know what, we're kind of a mess, and that's okay, you know, and in the Christian community, that's the God made that abundantly clear that his heart goes out to the disadvantaged, to the poor in spirit. So if any community ought to be a welcoming place for brokenness and accepting more and more of our need for therapy, you'd think it would be the church. We've got good reason to be.
And we've come a long way in the last decade or so in transparency. I don't know if it was the small group movement or whatever, but I will tell you this. I was mentored by a Christian leader that was near the end of his life and carried a guy around that was, quote, the photographer. So they put a camera around him. And really what he was there for, so he flew on the jet, et cetera. What he was there for, it was in case the leader crashed, was to resuscitate him. And we were very close for many years, this leader and I, and he never once said to me, you know, Jerry, I'm near death, and, you know, pray for me. And again, it goes back to one of the problems of Christian ministry. So we have a D-men here at HBU. Doesn't it make sense in that track two of our D-men that we help those in ministry realize it's not if you're going to get under emotional stress, yes, crucibles of the mind and heart, it'll keep you up night and day. It's when, and maybe we need to give you a little refresher here, show you how to get healthy, because healthy people typically pastor healthy parishioners. Doesn't that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, we need to get the word out. And I think you're right. We have done that. I think I personally am a big fan of the Warrens and their ministry, because I think they've been about as transparent as any couple in ministry that I've seen. Kay spoke at a conference of ours last fall, and she spoke about what she calls the marriage from hell.
Mm-hmm.
What beautiful
sure.
honesty.
Their own marriage in the beginning.
Yes, with the challenges that they faced and just learning to get along with each other with different personalities. But just that kind of transparency is like, really? Is that okay? You know, we need more and more leaders to step up, to take that risk and to tell their congregation some of their struggles so that it makes it more normal for us down here on earth.
And I think, too, that the whole sexual violation behavior of different people in the church is that it is a mirror to not being really normal and mm-hmm. getting help.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Having a healthy marriage, having a respectful attitude toward the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. Well, these are mental health issues, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. And some, I think the tendency for us fallen creatures is to live two lives. And that gets accentuated, I think, in modern American culture where you know, we present a certain face to the world, but privately we entertain all kinds of crazy stuff. We can do that, and somehow think that that's okay. That's why it's necessary, I think, for spiritual leadership, for therapists, to be brought into congregations in a regular kind of way, to explain how that can happen and to kind of break down the walls that we create in ourselves that keep these things hidden.
You know, we're talking to one of the nation's leaders, Dr. Eric Johnson. Literally one of the nation's leader, previously taught psychology, worldview, and Christian counseling 28 years. Eric's currently working on the third edition of Psychology and Christianity, 5 Views, and he co-edited Evidence-Based Practices for Christian Counseling and Psychotherapy and Marriage, Its Foundation, Theology, and Mission in a Changing World. In addition, Dr. Johnson has written over 60 peer-reviewed journal articles or chapters, as well as Foundations for Soul Care, A Christian Psychology Proposal in God, and Soul Care, The Therapeutic Resources of the Christian Faith, and he was co-author of Christian Psychology in Context. You have a wife, Rebecca, 2 children, 3 grandchildren. I mean, you're on the same journey I'm on. Christy and I pray for our children, but you know, we learned a long time ago, our kids hear us, but they watch us far better than they hear us. And it's interesting to me that some of the things they're doing, we've been doing.
Yeah.
Christy and I go out on a date on Friday night. We go have a romantic vacation. We've been married 43 years. They say, ooh, gross, but down deep, they dig that mom still loves dad and dad still loves mom, right? So I want to just ask you as we come to a close, I mean, you got your PhD in psychology, Michigan State. How did you weather all the Sigmund Freud and everything else that no doubt you had to, you know, read, listen to, and how did your Christian worldview not only stay intact, but motivate you to this incredible career that's so respected by so many?
Well, I think I had a good set of pre-doctoral program experiences and training. So I had an undergrad in Bible and theology that I'm so thankful for. And then I went to Calvin College and got a Master of Arts in Christian Studies in the Behavioral Sciences. Mm. It was really a worldview degree, very unusual. Mm-hmm. And I think that really helped to prepare me for what I was going to have to deal with in the doctoral program. You know, I'm so thankful for that education. I feel like I got exposure to the cutting edge of the best of our world psychology. But it was really because of that pre-understanding that I was given in these Christian institutions that gave me eyes to see and a skepticism. I didn't just accept everything just because it came from an authority. I had to assess it. I had to critically think about it, and that's not easy. And you know, looking back, it was kind of on my own. We need more doctoral programs in Christian institutions. But anyway, I did okay in the program. I think, looking back, honestly, I think I got socialized more into secular psychology than I realized. Mm-hmm. Just to be honest,
sure.
it's hard to, you know, we do the best we can. You know, we Christians, we love the Lord, and we do the best we can to learn what. But I think looking back over the years, I spent the time since then, hopefully, you know, the Lord kind of drawing me more and fully into a Christian approach to the field. And I've needed the help of, Bible scholars, theologians, Christian philosophers who have studied close to my area that I've needed to learn from and listen to carefully, because they're working in the resources. They've done deeper work in those great Christian resources than I was able to in my PhD, of course. And I've needed that. And I can't say enough how important that reconstructive work has been after I graduated. But all that to say, God has been so good, and honestly, the climax of my career was here. I'm in my 60s, and I'm going to be here as long as I can. But God opened up the opportunity to start this Gideon Institute of Christian Psychology and Counseling, and every day I just go to work like skipping. Because this is what I was made to do.
And one of the secrets of emotional wellness, what you just said, finding your passion and doing it. How simple is that?
Right.
And yet there are many people every day that go to a job they hate, an employer they despise. And so we applaud you. And you know, Dr. Johnson is here, a team of qualified, trained people that care. The Gideon Institute of Christian Psychology and Counseling at HBU is available. Don't carry your burdens alone. Tell everybody you know. And you can connect with Dr. Johnson at ejohnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N, at hbu.edu.
I'm sorry, the E.L. Johnson.
E.L., excuse me. Thanks for the correction. E.L. Johnson at hbu.edu. And learn more about this program, hbu.edu's College of Education and Behavioral Sciences. There is a place for you at HBU, hbu.edu/admissions, 281-649-3211. You say, man, I'd love to be a counselor. It's interesting, about 30% of enrollees have some kind of psych-oriented major. Mm-hmm. So this is a magnet. It's an enrollment magnet.
Yeah.
And the numbers don't lie. Why? Because people today want to make a difference, a social worker, a counselor. God bless every one of those. I wish I had that skill. hpu.edu/grad, 281-649-3269. And remember, there's an opportunity for you to do this online, hbuonline.com, 855-428-1960. We're going to keep Dr. Johnson's email on the screen, and we just want to, I thought the other day, a minister in North Carolina preached on Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good, and he went home, had lunch with his family, went to his study, and he committed suicide. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that, we've heard these stories
Sure.
many, many times. You know, I blew the myth a long time ago that a Christian commit suicide? Well, of course they can. Can a Christian commit murder? Yes. Can a Christian get out on the Interstate 10 and stand in front of a car going 70 and get hit? Yeah, a Christian can commit any sin known to man. And so we need to remind people that just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you can't have problems, right? Take a moment, just 60 seconds, and give people hope, will you?
Yeah. So, I just speaking from my own, you know, out of my own journey, I had a difficult teenage years. I'm responsible for a child that I've not met since birth that I hope to meet. Before I die, before I was a Christian, and I literally found in Jesus the reason for living and a way of putting my life back together. But it wasn't magic. It wasn't just memory of Bible verses, as much as I love the Bible and it's been a huge impact on me. It was getting to know Jesus and spending time with him, critical part of my healing. It was spending time with a therapist off and on throughout my life. It was benefiting from God's people at church and good preaching and friends who love the Lord and could encourage me and challenge me and my wife and when we were struggling. God's been good and a central part of my own healing. And that's what we as a Christian community have to offer, a God who loves us and wants us to be more and more whole in this life and ultimately fully in the life to come.
So well said. Thank you, Dr. Johnson, for being with us. We're very, very excited, and we're always here to help get the news out about what you're doing.
Thank you. Can I mention that we, sure. I don't know if I mentioned it, but we have a website, hbu.edu/Gideon.
hbu.edu/Gideon, G-I-D-E-O-N.
And it's just growing, you know, we're just starting it, but we're hoping to build more and more resources on that for people
Excellent.
Who are interested.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.